Well, when we left Florida, we took a lot of stuff with us. But obviously, there were some things you have to leave when you move from one place to another. But there was one thing that I said, I'm going to take, but I don't know how I'm going to do this. There in our home, between the kitchen and the pantry, was a door jamb. And on that door jamb were all the marks of our boys when they were growing up, how tall they were. And it was always so much fun when the boys would say, hey, Dad, can we do another measurement? Can we do another measurement? I said, well, come on over. And we got the little magic marker out. We'd put that little measurement. By the way, I was always at first, you know, I was looking at the top of their head, putting the mark up there. But you got to be watching at the bottom because they're going like this. You know, they're getting a little taller down there. I said, no. You got to go flat. Take those shoes off. You know, big boots, you know, out. And no. You got to just do it just yourself. And we just did the little line. Well, when we left Florida, there those marks were all on that door jamb. And those represented the marks of their growth. You know, when they were this age, you know, when they were this age, and when they were this age. And I remember sometimes, you know, the boys would say, you know, they'd get the mark one day, the next day they'd say, Dad, can we check again? I said, no, I think it's going to be about the same, you know. But that's because it's natural to want to grow. So when we left, I went ahead and I marked all of those heights of all of the boys. See, this was, here's one. October 16, 1994. This is how tall Drew was back then. He was cute back then. I don't know. Something happened between there and here. I don't know. But anyways, these are all the marks of all of our boys at different ages and the date that it was. And these are marks of maturity. They're marks of growth. Now, you know what you ought to be able to do? You ought to be able to go back over your spiritual life, and you ought to be able to put marks. Hey, you know what? This is when I learned this. This was when I led my first person to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is when this happened in my life. This is an answer to prayer that only I prayed. No one knew about this request. Only God. And those are marks in which, this is when I learned this truth. I never understood this. And then on that day, I was having my devotions. God gave me that, and I grew a little bit more. You see, we're not made to stay as infants. By the way, think about it. Everyone in this room, we all love babies, but we sure wouldn't want to stay one the rest of our lives. We want to grow. It is natural for every human being to want to grow physically. Now, I don't grow this way anymore, but I'm growing this way now. But that's not natural. But it's natural for every person to want to grow. And so it is spiritually as well. You know the message that I'm preaching today? It's not a mess. If you're a believer, you're saved. There is a natural desire to grow spiritually and to have those marks. However, it doesn't seem like many of us are growing more. We said we're made for more, but are we growing more? We are made to grow more in Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. It's natural for a person to want to mature and become more. We as Christians should desire to increase our faith, to develop our fruit, and to advance our walk with God. The Lord made his children to mature and to grow more in his grace. Now, I want to say this. Pastor is so organized, and he's got these things all down. He knows when he's going to go. He knows what series he's going to be. And I, by the way, I just so admire and appreciate our pastor because of that. So I want to tell you something. Pastor told me almost 2 months ago that I would be preaching on this Sunday, and he gave me the topic that he wanted me to preach on. And so I've known for quite a while what I was going to preach today. But I want you to know, it was only till this week that the Lord gave me the scripture. All, I mean, all summer long in August, I think it was even the late July, I knew that I would be preaching on September 27th. And I was thinking, okay, growth things and growth marks. I thought about this stick. I thought I would maybe use that as my opening introduction. But what I didn't have was the scripture that the Lord wanted me to use. And I think this week, the Lord gave me this this past week a passage that I want to share with you. A passage maybe some of you are familiar with, but I think it really talks about growth. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. The writer of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has got some things to correct to the Jewish believers. And one of them is they're not growing. They're made to grow. They're made for more, but they're not growing. In Hebrews chapter 5, in verse number 12, the Bible says this: "For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, mature, even those who by reason of," everyone together, what's the next word? "Reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Look at chapter 6, verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ," doesn't mean that they're not important anymore. Winning, leaving means adding on to. In other words, okay, we've got our foundation, believer. Now, moving on, adding to them. "Therefore, adding to the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. Let us grow more." You're made for more, not just the foundation. "Go on to perfection," which has the idea of maturity. "Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God." Hey, you know what he says here? Don't live like you have to be saved again. Think about that for just a moment. That's what he's saying there. Hey, don't live like you have to be saved again. You ought to be moving on from that. You're made for more. Look at verse number 9. I love this little phrase. "But beloved, we are persuaded." We are absolutely convinced. "We are persuaded better things of you." We're expecting you to grow more. God made you for more. So there's some more steps to take. We're persuaded. I'm absolutely, and I want to tell you something. I know your pastor is, but I want to tell you, the preacher that stands before you this morning, I am absolutely convinced that God has more for you. I stand up here today and I'm not like, you know, maybe this message doesn't apply. Oh no, God has more for every one of you, and to grow. There's more marks on the sticks, believer, that you need to make. Let's talk about some of these for just a moment. Number one, you are made for more than to be taught. You're made to teach. God has not made you just to be a student. God has made you to teach as well. Now, first of all, if you're one of my students at the college, you know I share this a lot. Because I believe this. When I go to a class and I do a lesson, I don't look at 40 students out there. I don't look at 200 students in Survey of Bible Doctrines. I look at what they're going to do with what I'm about to give them. I think it's a lot bigger than that. And you know what? When you come to church, it ought not to be, well, boy, I really need something from the Lord. Well, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But everything you're getting here, you ought to constantly be thinking about how you're going to use it for others as well. Now, some of you church members are saying, hey, that's good, Brother Shelley. You tell those college students that. No, let me talk to you, Lancaster Baptist. I do not know a church in America where you're going to get more food to exercise better than this place right here. What you receive in your Sunday school classes, what you receive from the pulpit here, what you receive here, hey, don't look at the students and just say, yeah, you know what, they need to grow more. You know what they do? But Lancaster Baptist Church, we need to grow more. We need to take what we're receiving and stop being the student member and start being the teacher as well. Look at the verse, verse 12. For the time ye ought to be teachers. Hey, listen. If you've been saved for more than 10 years, this verse is for you. If you've been saved for more than 5 years, I think this verse is for you. But I'm telling you, if you've known Christ as your Savior 15, 20 years, when there was the time when you ought to teach, and yet you still have to be taught, there's something wrong. You're not growing. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Wait a second. You should, that was Christianity 101 stuff. That was the basics. Christian, are you still on the basics in your life? Or have you built, have you added to your faith anything in your life? You are made for more than to be taught. You're made to teach. Be discipled so you can disciple others. You know, Brother Scheller, I've gone through the discipleship program here. That is fabulous. Matter of fact, if you're new to this church and you've just trusted Christ as your Savior, I cannot encourage you to do anything greater than now on Wednesday nights get discipled. That is fabulous that you're being discipled. But let me tell you something. There's a reason why you're being discipled. Yes, yes, for me to be stronger in the faith. Well, good. There's a reason why you need to be stronger in your faith. Yes, because of the things that are going that I'm going to go through in my life, I need to get discipled. Yes, that's true. But those things that you're going through in your life is for other people to learn from. And what you are going through and the things that you're learning in your discipleship, when you leave your discipleship class on Wednesday night, you ought to be thinking, hey, you know what? This was great. This is so helpful to me. And you know what? I could give this. There was things I could give to my coworkers. There's things that I could use in others as well. Be discipled so you can disciple others. Number two, learn so you can help others. We're a conduit. We're just a channel by which, okay, Lord, it's coming down my way in my life. I'm in this point of my life, at this time of my life, and it's coming by my life. So I need to pass it on. Learn so you can help others. Grow so you can bear fruit, not just show leaves. Now, I hope you have your Bible with you. And if you do, take it and turn to Mark chapter 11. I know you have it in your notes, but there's just something about taking the Bible and turning it to. If you say, boy, I have a hard time finding the scriptures, then it is there. And praise the Lord. It's in your handout. You can look at these two. This, for a while, I had thought about being my text for today's message. Mark chapter 11, verse 12 through 14. This is the last week of Christ on the earth. And he's staying the time in Bethany. He's going to go down to the Mount of Olives, down the Kidron Valley, and up into the Eastern Gate. And he does this every day during this last week. This is his second day. This is the day he's going to clean out the temple and knock over the tables and get the money changers out of there. On his way in that morning, he hadn't had breakfast. Let's see what happens. Verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree. Now, I've learned a few things about fig trees, and you're going to need to know this in just a minute. I learned a few things about fig trees these last couple days. I never realized this before, but the fruit of a fig tree grows before the leaves do. So in that season, there is the fruit that comes first and then the leaves. The leaves follow the fruit. Well, I mean, there's not too many trees that are like that, but fig trees are. So therefore, if you are looking at a tree with a fig tree with a lot of leaves on it, thus you should have a lot of fruit on that tree. So he came and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found everyone together. What's the next word? Now that's important because there is a kind of growth that is not important. Let me tell you what kind of growth that is. That's leaves. And if you ask me to describe the Church of America right now, I'll tell you, you could describe the church in America right now basically with these words. It's a lot of leaves and not much fruit. And I'm going to tell you, that's the kind of church that we see in America today. By God's grace and for God's glory, may Lancaster Baptist Church never be leaves without fruit. And we see here, really important, anything thereon, and he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Well, again, the tree's supposed to, if it's got leaves on it, it should have had fruit on it as well. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Do you know of every miracle that Jesus did in 33 and a half years he was on this earth? This is the only miracle that he cursed something. This is the only miracle that he did that was on judgment. Every miracle that Jesus ever did was to help, to encourage, but this miracle was a curse. Now I'm going to tell you, I think it's a picture of these Pharisees he's about to go in to see in the temple. There are a lot of leaves. There's a lot of externals, but there's no fruit. Now stop for just a moment, Lancaster Baptist Church member. Stop for just a moment, WCBC student or visitor or guest for a moment, and I want to ask you something. All that you're doing for God. Boy, let me tell you, let me show you this. Let me show you this. Let me show you this. Let me ask you, is it leaves or is it fruit? Because a lot of growth that we may see in the church today tends to be more leaves than it does fruit. When was the last time, it says here, so grow so you can bear fruit, not just show leaves. When was the last time you shared with someone what you have learned in the Lord? When was the last time you just spent some time talking to other people about things that you got from your devotions? We get together and we talk about sports. We talk about our jobs. We talk about things that are just leaves. When was the last time you just got together with someone? Hey, I got to show you this verse. The Lord gave me this morning. This was so good. Hey, I just want to, I was so blessed. Hey, I heard something in chapel this past week. Man, this was last week when Pastor gave that. You know, I was following along, but I saw something else. Man, God spoke to my heart about this. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to travel from St. Thomas, Canada, up to Toronto to fly out. And it was Brother Sams and Brian Sams and Eric and Lexi Getch. And we were traveling together. And it was so enjoyable. Oh, we talked about sports. We talked about the conference we just had. We talked about different things. Oh, we talked about the college things and stuff like that. But I'll tell you what I really enjoyed is we were all sharing things that we were getting from God's Word. Things that were like seed thoughts for messages. Devotional things that we did. And I thought to myself, this is what spiritual growth produces. If you're growing spiritually, you're telling other people. You're sharing with other people things that are happening. I want to hit a couple areas. The next point under here is the aged women are to teach the younger. Now, I know, ladies, I don't like that phrase either, aged women, but that's what the Bible says, okay? So let's talk about that for just a moment. I think this is an incredibly important concept that we need to have at this church because of the godly women that we have at this church. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5 says this, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not accusers, not false accusers, not given to too much wine, teachers of good things. Now listen to this, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of their home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This is spiritual growth. When the time came, he says in Hebrews chapter 5, that they should have been teachers, instead they were still students. Now ladies, at this church, you're godly, you're holy. There's things that you have learned in life. By the way, there are things that you have learned in life that are in some ways out of the spiritual realm. You've learned how to control your emotions. You've learned how to prepare meals. You've learned how to be thrifty with finances. There are things that you have learned, and the younger generation of ladies in this church need to learn it from you. And I want to tell you, one of the great blessings of being a member of Lancaster Baptist Church are those college students. To be able to take a college young lady under wing and teach them something and mentor them. Oh, they don't want to hear from us old women. Oh, yes, they do. And even if they don't want to, they need to. And you need to be there. That is part of growing. You are made for more. You're not made to sit the rest of your life in a pew seat at Lancaster Baptist Church. Ladies, you have something to offer. You have something to give. You need to invest what God has shown you into the next generation. You love your husband? I tell you what, we have a generation of wives that don't love their husbands. But you do love your husband. Then you need to show and tell the younger generation how to love your husband, how to do this, how to be discreet. These things, I think it's important. The aged women are to teach the younger. And by the way, guys, you don't get off the hook on this either. The mature men are to mentor the younger men. The mature men are to mentor the younger men. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. You see, we're made for more. We're made to help somebody mentor them and that they can mentor other people. And by the way, praise the Lord for specific designated discipleship time. But let me tell you this. Much of our mentoring and much of our disciple making is done on everyday, at everyday times. And let me encourage you. You're around some of these college guys. Take them under wings. Hey, I want to talk to you about something. How's your thought life? How are you doing in this year? How do you pray? Listen to them pray. Help them in their prayer life. Do things with them. I believe that we are made for more. And God wants us to grow more. And one of the ways is that mature men begin to mentor younger. By the way, Paul says to Timothy, look at chapter 3, verse 10, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, and my patience. By the way, that really spoke to my heart. Because as I was preparing this message, I thought, well, now at this point, I kind of got this one under wing, man. You know what? I'm not the student anymore. I'm the teacher. And I left the pastoral ministry to come and teach the next generation. So boy, this point doesn't apply to me. And boy, the Holy Spirit said, hey, Jim, how are you doing teaching the younger men here your manner of life, your purpose, your faith, your long-suffering, your charity, your patience? And the Lord said, you know, Jim, it's more than just standing up in front of a class and teaching. It's also living with these guys. It's also getting with these guys and doing things with them. So I got to tell you, this mentoring, this growing, God has much more for us than to be stagnant. Number two, you are made for more than to drink milk. You are made to eat meat. And God's people said, amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God didn't make the spiritual life and he didn't make the physical life that we would just drink spiritual milk the rest of our lives. Praise the Lord for the things that God gives us. Praise the Lord. You know, you think of all the different foods the Lord has given us. You know, say, oh, it would be so good to be a little baby again. No, it wouldn't. And drink that formula stuff? Once we've tasted Chinese food, man, that ain't going to work anymore. Once we've tasted authentic, you know, good Mexican food, I'm telling you, I don't go back to that little milk bottle thing again. And you know what? You're made for more. You're made for more spiritually. Some of you have been saved for 15 years, and you've got your little spiritual bottle. You have one little doctrine that you know. You have one little bottle that you drink from. You go, I'm all about the book of Philippians. Now listen, I love the book of Philippians. But some Christians never get out of Philippians. You know, if you said, hey, have you ever read the Minor Prophets? The Minor who? I mean, what are these? You know what? God has given us so much to eat. God has given us so much, and we're still on our little spiritual bottles, many of us. Look at the verses in Hebrews 5. They are so powerful and so poignant. It says, you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. We can't feed you anything meaty because you'll choke on it. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. By the way, I think that's interesting. He could have put scriptures in there, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it is the word of righteousness. This is something a little deeper. This is about some practical areas of life. You are made for more than to drink milk. You are made to eat meat. I remember years ago, I stayed at a home. I usually don't like to stay at hotels. So wherever I travel, I like to stay in people's homes. It doesn't always work that way, but I like that. And you get to stay with a lot of interesting people. I stayed with a great family, and they had several kids. But they had this one child, their youngest child. He was really cute, too. He was really, you know, really personable. But the kid had a real problem. He only ate one thing, macaroni and cheese. That is all this kid ate. Well, yeah, okay, well, like lunch. No, breakfast. Lunch, he had it with ketchup on it, okay? And he had it for dinner. And I'm going, well, does he like have some allergies or anything? And the parents go, oh, no, it's all that he eats. He's kind of a picky eater. And I'm thinking to myself, well, get that kid something else to eat than macaroni and cheese. But you know what? There's a lot of you Christians that way. I mean, you're macaroni and cheese, and that's it. You put a piece of steak in front of you, you would choke if you heard a message on doctrine that you'd never heard before. You're like, oh, what was he talking about? Man, that was way over my head tonight. You know what? You're macaroni and cheese Christians. You need to realize, and you're picky eaters. You know, another thing, boy, don't we all do that? We get a message, and we go, oh, that's good. Way to go, Pastor Chappell. That's good preaching. Man, shake that bush. Ooh, that's not good. We're not doing that stuff. And you know what? We're picky eaters when it comes to church, too. And you are made for more than to drink milk. Man, you are made to eat meat. Stop being spoon-fed. And start taking spiritual responsibility for your own feeding. You know, I'll never forget the first time I read Joshua chapter 5. And I'm reading Joshua 5, and this is where they have the circumcision. They do the Passover. They hadn't done that for 39 years. And they have all these things occur. But with the first time I read it, I thought, oh, that's too bad. They got into the promised land, but the manna ceased. And I thought that was like a negative thing. I thought like, oh, no more Snickers bars. That's what manna was, by the way, Snickers bars. But I went like, oh, wow, they don't get any manna. No, God took the manna away once they got into the victorious life. Once they got into the promised land, no more manna. Brother Scheller, was it manna from heaven? Yeah, it was. It was from heaven. And now it was their responsibility to start feeding themselves. Now it wasn't an IV. Now it wasn't spoon-fed. Hey, you guys are in the victorious Christian life now? You're in the promised land? Start feeding yourself. It wasn't a bad thing that he stopped the manna. It was a good thing. You know why? Because they were made for more. They were made to grow more. And the only way you're ever going to grow more is you start learning how to spiritually feed yourself and take the IV of Lancaster Baptist Church out and start saying, hey, you know what? I need to have my own devotions. I need to be fed by the Word of God, me and the Lord as well. I've learned this in my life. The only thing greater than hearing a great spiritual truth is finding a great spiritual truth. Isn't it something when you're reading God's word, you go like, oh, wow, that is exactly the verse that I need. That's mine now. You know, there's something about a preacher that preaches God's word. You go like, oh, that was so good. I really needed that message. But there's something else when you are in the word of God. You are made for more. You are made for more than to drink milk. You are made to eat meat. Stop being so easy. Oh, by the way, here's a good one. Stop being so easily offended and develop a stomach that can handle disappointments and hurts. Well, you know as well as I, if you got a little babe, you have a little baby, there's the reason why you can't give them a nice salad or the reason why you can't, you say, Brother Shelley, you need to stop talking about food at this point. I know, but just one more, a couple more things here, all right? But you know the reason why you can't give them all that? They don't have a stomach that could handle it. You could kill a little baby if you gave them that. You know what, though? As you grow spiritually, some of you need to stomach some things a little bit. Some of you can't handle any adversity at all. You can't handle any disappointment. You can't handle any suffering. You can't handle any pain at all. Your stomach's too weak for that. You got to take, you know what? Here's another thing. We talked about macaroni and cheese Christians. Well, there's Tums Christians too. That no matter what happens in your life, you got to have a little Tums with you spiritually. You got to have someone. I need somebody. I need somebody to pray with. I need somebody. You know what? We need us to be able to start stomaching some adversity. We need to be able to, if we're never going to be able to eat meat until our stomach can handle that meat. And we need to be able to, in a way, grow up. And that's what he's saying here. You guys are still like babes. I cannot feed you. I cannot give you what you need to have because your stomach couldn't handle it. Stop eating. Here, this is a good one. Stop eating one truth and develop a taste for a whole scriptures. Some of you eat one thing spiritually. You know what? Maybe it's just soul winning. Maybe it's just, you're all about the community. You are so big on the Restart program. Praise the Lord for that. You're all about projects and helping people. That is great. But you're never getting God's word. You're not growing. Now, some of you, all about studying the scriptures. You're saying right now, oh, Brother Shuttle, this is so good. These people, they are so big on activities, and they just need to get in the word. Let me tell you something, friend. You need to get doing some activities. You need to start serving the Lord and start leading people to Christ and start knocking on some doors. You stop eating one truth and develop a taste for the whole scriptures. Number three, you are made for more than to be told what is right and wrong. You are made to discern right from wrong. Man, it's time for some of us to grow up. It is time for some of us to begin to grow. Look at verse 14. I'll tell you, this is one of my favorite books, favorite verses in the whole book of Hebrews. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. That means they're mature. Even those who by reason of, I told you to do it earlier, I want you to do it again with me. Even those who by reason of, everyone together, what's the next word? Use. Have their senses exercised. It's the word gymnasium. To discern both good and evil. Oh, this is great. Let me share this with you. We have such a need for discernment in our Christianity today. You talk to so many people, I don't know what God's will is. I don't know what's right and wrong. There just seems to be so much gray today. I don't know what's right. You know what you have just done? You've just indicted yourself. Because the Christian who cannot discern is somebody who is not using the word of God in their life. Because the more you use the word of God, the more discerning you become about things in life. Now, the next statement, maybe the most important statement of the whole, all the little handout that you got, this is maybe the most important one. Notice this. I got down, spiritual believers may judge all things, but then notice this. Discernment is based on truth you have already exercised. Discernment is based on truth you've already exercised. In other words, if you're going to be a discerning person, you have to exercise what you do know is right. And if you're exercising truth, if you're living the word of God, then when you come to an issue, wow, never been here before. I don't know what the Bible says on this. This is kind of a gray area. You're going to be able to discern between that. Let me give you an illustration of this. The word exercise in verse 14 is the word we get gymnasium from. It's where you work out. It's where you practice. That's the Greek word there is gymnasium. Now, you can't pick up a 150-pound bar of weights if you haven't been working out on some other weights before that. If you haven't been working out, when you come to a 150-pound weight, you're not going to be able to lift it up. You won't have the strength. You're not going to be able to discern in areas of your life that are coming down the road if you're not exercising the truth that you have right now. Listen to this verse. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, this is what discernment is. It's the ability to do, by the way, this is the next point. Discernment is the ability to do surgery on a situation and cut away the good from the bad. When you're discerning, you're doing surgery on a situation. And sometimes as you cut that situation, you go like, this is not good. This is the good part of this. This is the good. This is the bad. Hey, let's do one for just a moment. I really won't take a long time with this, but let's just do one for a moment. Let's take music, okay? Let's take the area of music for just a moment. Well, I don't know if I should listen to this or not. I don't know what's right about music, and I don't know what's wrong. Well, a couple things we know about music. Number one, music is not neutral. No music you ever listen to is ever neutral. I'm not talking about the words. I'm talking about the music always has a message to it. All music is not neutral. It always says something. So now we've got to do something with the music that we hear. Now, here's what we tend to do. We hear something, and what do we say? Oh, what's wrong with that? What was wrong with that? That is baby talk. Here's what spiritual, mature people do. What was right with that music? How did that music help me? How did that music affect me? Not what's wrong with something. We're doing it with our activities and everything. Hey, what's wrong if I wear that? Hey, what's wrong if I go there? That's not going to produce discernment at all. You're going to stay as a baby. But if you're made for more and you want to grow, start asking the question, what's right with it? What does this music do for me? What is good about this music? How does it affect me? How does it influence my life? That's how you use for discernment. Discernment is the ability to do surgery on a situation and cut away the good from the bad. Stop asking what is wrong with something and start asking what is right with it. What does the Bible say? What is God's view? What action do I take? Number four, and we're done. You are made for more than the ordinary. You are made for the extraordinary. You are made for more than the ordinary. You are made for the extraordinary. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Brother Schettler, I'm not sure I understand that. Well, let me give you a little piece of meat here, okay? This doesn't mean, when it talks about leaving, it means adding on to. Okay, we've got this established. We know the virgin birth. We know justification by faith. We've got these basic Bible, basic principles. And now we're going to move on from that. We're going to add to that. Add to your faith. Let us go on to perfection. The idea there is maturity, completeness. You know, it's an interesting word there. It's the word that Christ used on the cross. When he said, it is finished, telestia. It is finished. It is complete. It is perfect. That is the same word that's used here. Let us go on to telestiai, till it's finished, to perfection, to maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. Brother Sheldon, I've never understood this verse. Well, here's basically what it says. Don't live like you have to be saved again. We ought to be moving on from things. Hey, we got that thing taken care of on the thought life. We ought to be moving on. Now, isn't sanctification a process, Brother Scheller? It is. But come on, friend. There ought to be some maturity in our life that, you know what, I got that taken care of. You know, when I was a teenager, I had a really bad time lying. When I was a teenage boy, I really had a terrible anger. Well, great. There ought to be some maturity now that we're beyond that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that we'll never be angry, wrong, and that we'll never sin again. We're not talking sinless perfection here. But there ought to be some growth, and there should be some maturity. You are made for more than the ordinary. We have so accepted in our Christianity today the subnormal, and we've accepted the subnormal, it's become normal. And that if anyone lives the normal Christian life, we go like, wow, that's really abnormal. I mean, we just have totally lost the growth. Years ago, my wife and I were traveling with a musical ensemble, and we were in the New England area. And we were in Vermont. We did a service one night, and that night, the pastor asked us, hey, tomorrow, we have a young lady, she's a teenager, she's 16 years old, and she can't get out. She's got multiple physical problems, and was wondering if you would be willing to go and sing for her. And we said we'd love to do that. I remember coming up to the little cottage in the woods. It was just in Vermont woods, and we drove up this little driveway, and we got in the house, and we met the parents. We had met them the night before at the service, and we went into the little family room area, and there was a hospital bed, and there was this girl laying on that bed. She had a beautiful 16-year-old face and head, and she really was a pretty girl. But her body had stopped growing at age 5. So underneath the sheet, you could tell there was this little body and her little hands. She had little 5-year-old hands, little 5-year-old arms. But she had a 16-year-old head. It was, I'll be honest, it was very difficult to look at. We sang and we were a blessing, but I have often thought, wow, here her head grew, but her body didn't. Let me tell you this. There's a lot of Christians that spiritually you've never developed. You've been saved for years, and there has not been growth in your life. There hasn't been anything that's happened. Maturity should not be unusual. Maturity should be normal. We need the basics as our foundation, but it's not the finish line. It's the starting point. The tree has not matured when it produces leaves, but when it bears fruit. Man, we need to continue to grow. God made you for more. Christian, don't be compliant. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Grow more in the Lord. Now, I want to close by telling you this. Some of you are here today, and you're visiting with us. And you say, hey, that was great. How about that growth and all that? I just have a problem. I think I need to start. You're doing this thing called restart. Well, my problem isn't growth. My problem is I don't think I've ever begun in the spiritual life. I want to share this with you. In order to get to heaven, you do have to have two births. You have to be born physically, and you have to be born spiritually. You can't grow spiritually until you've had a spiritual birthday. Hey, you can't grow physically until you are born physically. Now, for me, I have a physical birthday. My physical birthday is April 19th, 1999. And that's when I was born physically, 1957. Woo, that's a long time ago. But I also have a spiritual birthday, and it's a long time ago too. November 8th, 1969. I was born in the Spirit. April 19th, 1957, born in the flesh, and I have grown. November 8th, 1969, I was born in the Spirit. Now hear this. You can't get to heaven without having two birthdays. You have to be born into the family of God to be a child of God. God is not the father of all mankind. He's the creator of all mankind. He is your creator. He is your God. But he's not your father until you receive his son and then come into the family. You have to know Jesus Christ, first of all. And then, once you receive what Christ did for you on the cross, and you believe by faith alone, not by coming to a church or being baptized, by faith alone, you receive him, Christ, then you can begin to grow spiritually. If you're here today, and you say, man, I only got one birthday. I've been born physically, but I've never had this spiritual birth. Then you cannot grow spiritually until, first of all, you've received Christ. If you're here this morning and you have never received the Lord, you say, man, I don't know what you're talking about right now. I don't understand, but I want what you have. I want that. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Then we invite you to do something today. And this is so great. Coming into the spiritual life is simply by a decision of your faith. And you say, you know what? I know you love me, God. I know you have a purpose. I know you made me for more. And Lord, I know I've messed that up. I recognize that I have thought things, said things, and done things that are against your word. And Lord, by faith, I ask you right now to be my Savior. Now, friend, you can do that in your seat right now where you are. But I want to encourage you. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to encourage Christians to grow more and to make a commitment that they're going to grow more, that they're going to move on. But I want to ask you, friend, right now where you are, you say, you know what? I want that, Jim. I encourage you to step on out. We have counselors that go out, and they'll show you how you can do that. And you can be born again. And you can have a new birth. And then you can start growing. And you can start seeing the Lord work in your life. But you can't grow spiritually until you, first of all, have life. And that's Christ in your life.